Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented here is a free teaser for this month's edition of the Top Rope Nation Classics Patreon bonus podcast. Every single month, we release a deep dive on a classic wrestling event as voted on by our supporters on Patreon. Presented here is a 15-minute preview of that podcast. It's a true historical deep dive. The only place to hear these shows in full? Join the Patreon page for just $5 per month. The link is right here in the podcast description. Patreon is the best way to support the show. We are confident you will enjoy the content we're offering, all the bonus content over on Patreon. For just $5 per month, not only do you gain access to the monthly Top Rope Nation Classics bonus podcast on Patreon, you also receive access to a weekly bonus podcast, Top Rope Nation Extra. The only way to hear Top Rope Nation Classics every month and Top Rope Nation Extra every single week is by supporting us on Patreon. That's 5 bonus shows per month for $5, plus other benefits like access to our show notes every week, voting on which events we cover for classics, and more. So click that link in the episode description and read all about it over on Patreon. It's patreon.com/topropenation and enjoy this special free preview of this month's retro show. What is up, everybody? It is another monthly edition of Top Rope Nation Classics. I think this is like the 22nd, maybe 23rd edition of the show. We're going back in time as voted on by the patrons here at patreon.com/topropenation to review a UK-only special event that happened in September of 1997. It's WWF, one night only. I got Justin on the line, of course. I've got Kyle on the line, and we've got a very special guest. He has been on the show many times before. He's a patron of the show. He's been the gateway for many UK residents to find Top Rope Nation because Kyle has been on his podcast, Squared Circle Gazette, numerous times. And like I said, he's been on our show, I think, 3, 4, maybe 5 times. But this is the first time on the Patreon show. It is the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Book of the Year winning author, Mr. Liam O'Rourke. Liam, what's going on?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thank you for having me back once again. I've been dying to do one of these shows with you, like a show recap show, for the longest time. So of all the shows to do, I'm so glad this is the one. So I'm pumped for today. I've been excited all week for this.
You were at the event in September 1997, so it makes sense. It was perfect to have you on. We were hoping that this would be the one that won the poll. It ran away with it. It wasn't even close. So it worked out perfectly. It's the late morning here in the U.S. as we record. It's the afternoon across the pond where you are, Liam. We had some technical difficulties getting on the air, but we went old school. We went back to Skype to make this thing work. So
it's kind of appropriate, actually, because as I went through this show, I've seen this show back like several times, obviously, since it happened, but actually going through and making notes, there are so many memories that came flooding back that I completely forgot. And I forgot I was actually late to the venue at this show for a reason I'll get into. So it's only appropriate that I'm late for this as well. So it kind of works out.
Nice.
By the way, you talk about this show running away with the poll, Ryan. As always, we have to thank Dominion for you know, rigging everything.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we watched it this week, too. It was kind of fun to relive. It took, I think I said this on another show we did. It took me, like, years to see this event because they finally released it in the U.S. when it first came out on WWF home video, but they cut the Bret Undertaker match. So I don't even know when the first time I actually saw that one was. Kyle, do you remember the first time you saw this event?
Yeah, I actually owned the Master VHS. I bought it. I don't know if I got it off eBay or if a video store had it. Mm-hmm. Or whatnot, but I owned it for the longest time. I was going to put it up behind me, but I guess I threw it out. Oops. But yeah, I'd seen the event, I don't know, like 20 years ago, but I had not seen the Bret match and a few others until the network.
Mm-hmm. I think Bret had the match maybe on his DVD. I think that was the first time that I saw it, probably. I don't think, yeah, I was just couldn't find it anywhere. What about you, Justin? First time you saw One Night Only?
Network. Not until it was on the network. I'd never seen it before.
Okay. All right. And of course, Liam was there. So, Liam, why don't you tell us about getting tickets for this show and how that all came about, where you had the opportunity to go?
Yeah. So this was the second live wrestling show that I'd ever been to. The year before, I'd gotten to go to in the same venue, Birmingham NEC. I lived in Birmingham for the first like 8 years of my life, moved away. And then I'd been to the show in 96, was excited for the Shawn Michaels main event that I was expecting to get, only for him to lose the belt 1 week before my show to Psycho Sid at Survivor Series, and was treated instead to Sid versus Farouk in a 90-second match for the main event. But I should, but I should be happy that Sid made an advertised date. So that was history making right there.
I think it's
the only ever Bret Mick Foley match took place on that show, so there's a little bit of something there, which was good. But and as we'll talk about, this card had like a bunch of changes as well. So and I know we'll talk about fandom and such, but I was rabid for this show. I was so excited to be able to go to an actual. There was something to be said for this country in the 90s was just starved for wrestling, and we loved anything that came over. It sold out pretty much. WCW did really well here in like 1993 when they weren't doing well like anywhere. But you know, this, anything that came along usually did pretty damn well, and this was no exception. And a show of relevance that was actually going to have like a title match. Like, yeah, this wasn't like a, as it would kind of become over the course of history, like the rebellions and the insurrections were basically just like taped house shows, but this felt novel and different for reasons I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah. Justin Joint, the state of your fandom as we ended the summer of 1997. So as we said, we are live at the NEC Arena in Birmingham, England. 11,000 fans, approximately a sellout. I said 20,000 buys on pay-per-view. And Liam, you alluded to this earlier, but you got to the venue late. So yeah. Tell us the story of walking into the venue, the atmosphere, what you noticed when you got there.
Yeah, so I got there late because I avoided a car crash by about 15 feet on the way to the building. we were driving there, and this is like we leave the motorway. We're heading on a road that's got like, obviously it's cars going in both directions. And I guess like a drunk driver or someone who fell asleep at the wheel just kind of careened right. And like two cars in front of us, just a massive head on collision that flipped both cars and it came swinging past us. So we were kind of just like stood there for like 10, 15 minutes. And I was just like, God damn, if I miss the fucking opening match, pull that twisted looking chap out of the car and make sure he's okay. But I need to see the opening. Yeah, I need to see the pyro. And so I got there about 5 minutes in. It wasn't that bad. But no, the atmosphere was electric. It was just, like I said, I'm comparing it to the house show, which was like really dark the year before. And like, you know, nothing special about it in terms of the optics. And then just look, walking in, it's like, this looks like a pay-per-view. It looked just, again, to my 11-year-old eyes, it was completely surreal to see a show like that. In person. So but the crowd was already like rabid by the time I got there, and then it pretty much felt like it stayed that way.
Where were your seats at?
I was on the first. It's not a huge build in the NEC. Like, you can actually see, when you actually like watch the video, you can see like the crowd, the seats that go all the way to the back. That's it. You can actually see every seat on the video. of the show. So it's not as big as it looks on camera, I don't think. So I was in, like, as the risers began, I was in, like, two or three rows up on the risers. So, like, I had a pretty good view of everything, and I was kind of, like, side on, so I could kind of, you know, I was opposite the entranceway. So, no, it was the atmosphere was just through the roof.
Wait a minute. So you were not the person holding up the Meltzer is God sign?
No.
Okay, no. That wasn't you. Okay, all right. Thought for sure that might have been you.
Were you able to spot yourself on the video of this?
No, I can't, because, like, at no point, because, like, there are times when it kind of goes to the side and you can kind of see the right hand side. It would be right to the hard camera, but, like, it doesn't pan to the side enough to see where I was. So,
okay.
Well, it was nowhere near the close call you guys in Chicago was when Moxley comes walking by.
That was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Kyle missed it, though.
Yeah, that's all I heard.
Yes. I got to ask you this. So as I was watching, I thought of it, and then I'm like, I'm going to ask Liam right away at the start. So I got to ask you, those guards that were on the entranceway, did they actually stand there the entire show staring at each other, or did they, like, go off after the entrances?
No, they were there the whole time.
God,
the entire
so
time.
Awkward. So yeah. Awkward.
No intermission. Nothing. They were just stood there. I mean, wow. Because the Queen's Guard outside Buckingham Palace has to do that anyway, for real. They have to just, like, stand there for hours. So, like, there you go. What a way to earn a living, though, right?
it's so authentic, you know, these two guys on the entranceway, they're right in front of the stage, and they just stand there motionless, expressionless the entire time as the wrestlers walk past them. Bulldog almost takes him out during his entrance, checks on the guy.
I'll tell you what, man, I couldn't do that. My entire life would just be worrying about having to piss. Like, the whole time, like, every day I would just wake up, God, I hope I don't have to pee in the middle of this shift. What do you do?
I know.
Soil yourself?
I would seriously, like, dread that in my head.
Yes, I would think about it the whole time. I would just be like, I can't pee, I can't pee, I can't pee, I can't pee.
Yeah. So this show, what I found was interesting about, I had to look it up on History of WWE, our friend Graham Coffin was on the show a couple of months ago. This was the only event that they did in England. Like, they didn't go over there and do a couple of shows, you know, to make use of the travel time across the Atlantic Ocean. They did one event, and then they come right back, and they're at Madison Square Garden for Raw on Monday night. I thought that was strange. Very strange. So, yeah.
Kind of unprecedented, too. I don't think they did that before or since.
No, I can't think of it, because they would always do a loop on
SummerSlam 92,
three shows.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we should look that up. Because, yeah, I mean, going back to the first tour in 89, it was, you know, like a week they would be over there. At least the crew would be over there. So, yes. Does somebody want to check that up to see if SummerSlam 92 was a one-off over there? But, yeah.
I feel like it was.
Travel back then, even in 97, was so odd. They were starting to streamline it. But it's nothing like today where it's very logical. I mean, I don't need to tell any of you guys. I mean, the 80s. I mean, the cities they would go from day to day were just insane. You wonder why everyone, you know, was doing cocaine. I mean, the old Miami, Detroit, Atlanta, Los Angeles, East Rutherford, five shows and five nights. So really take it out of you.
Yeah. Well, they did have kind of like a skeleton crew back in the United States working the house show loop as one night only happened. As you can imagine, not the most star-studded lineups they were presenting back here. They ran a... Let's see. The night of One Night Only, they were in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and the main event of that show was Crush, Chains, and 8-Ball taking on Farooq, Kama, and D'Lo Brown. That was the main event. Brian Pillman was on that show, though. The next day, Sunday, September 21st, for a crowd of 966 people, the World Wrestling Federation ran Liberty Central High School in Liberty, New York.
Woo! Yeah. I'm not sure Pillman would have been allowed to travel to the show, because I think at that point he was doing his Friday night anger management classes for real. So he wasn't able to take the international flight, is, I believe, the story.
Wow. They did have the future The Rock, Rocky Maivia. He was on that skeleton crew house show loop, though. Rocky Maivia worked Ahmed Johnson at Liberty Central High School that weekend,
so,
and then the next day they're at MSG.
What the fuck?
That's interesting, because Ahmed was supposed to be on this one night only card originally and wasn't, and I have it in my notes. Well, what do you know, it's 1997 and Ahmed Johnson's hurt again, but apparently they just left him behind. I bet he missed the flight. I bet he missed the flight.
Well, I was wondering what happened because, like, he's on that MSG show 2 days later.
Yeah.
And I was all ready to make it. I, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, well, it's 1997. At this point in time, I'm pretty sure they were going to change his ring name to Tampon because he was, like, 1 week in, 3 weeks out the whole year long. But as it turns out, he's fine.
Yeah, that's great. No, yeah, he worked Ahmed that whole weekend, and then he worked him on Raw, too.
You know what?
So, yeah.
Given that the original card was Brett and Austin, and Undertaker and Ahmed, you know, Austin's obviously injured. This is post SummerSlam where with the Owen Piledriver thing, you had to move someone big into that slot. Undertaker was the logical person. I wonder if just Ahmed was like an odd man out at that point where it's just like, well, fuck, who cares about Ahmed Johnson being on this card? We need Brett to have a serviceable opponent. We're going with the Undertaker. Ahmed, you know, you worked the high school in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
I was pissed again. The year before, I'm thinking I'm going to get Shawn Michaels main event, and then he's not on the show. And then here, I'm going to get Austin and Bret Hart, like, months after the WrestleMania match. I was going to be like a pig in shit watching that match. And then, of course, Austin gets hurt. So, yeah.
How aware were you guys that Austin wasn't going to be on the show at all? Like, no interview or anything? Did you find that out in advance, or, like, when you got to the venue?
No, to be honest, at that point, I just assumed he wouldn't be there because it was like, well, as soon as we're watching SummerSlam, like, it sounds selfish, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to, this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good for the match that I was hoping I was going to get to see Bret and Austin, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just assumed he wouldn't be there. I think everybody, there was no like belief in the crowd because they didn't advertise him at all. Like, obviously we had like, as they do like in the local market and stuff, we had a lot of kind of like TV geared just to plug one night only, and at no point did they say Steve Austin was going to be there, so I was under no false illusions.
Okay. Yeah, because there was like an initial poster, I think, when it went on sale, obviously he was on, but then ended up changing that.
Yeah, so they plugged it hard. That was like that, and they were treating it like it was a double main event with Bret and Austin and Shawn and Bulldog.
Yeah. All right, so we get this this intro for the show with the British Bulldog. You know, they make him out to be a great hero over in the UK.
Oh, boy.
It's very heroic for a guy who's about to lose.
Awkward.
Yes. And the first match of the show, Triple H taking on Dude Love. Hunter enters the arena, looks at the guards in disgust. Foley does this backstage interview where he's like imitating, you know, the English accent that our good friend Liam has here, which I'm jealous of, man. That accent. I like the English accent. Us, yeah, Americans, but you know, just sound boring.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of us feel the same way about you guys. And I got to say, Mick Foley's promo, listen to the crowd reaction. That should tell you what you think about what we think about that kind of impression of our accents.
Nobody reacts really at all.
Hate when Americans or any other nation thinks that we talk like that, especially Birmingham, which, you know, I think at one point Vince McMahon lied and called it beautiful Birmingham, England, which, you know, come on. I lived there for 8 years and I know it ain't beautiful. So the pandering promo.
To Dude Love and some comments.
Oh, baby, have mercy. I do say, Hunter, my dear chap. I fear that you and I are in for.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.